Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Wednesday morning. A lot going on with the Mets finally breaking out of their offensive struggles against the Blue Jays at home last night. The Yankees go down to D.C., battle back, tie a game that gets suspended that hopefully they can resume today because the weather looks awful. You got the NBA draft lottery, the Knicks not moving much, and the Robinson Cano news, where he will be suspended for 80 games with the masking agent. We've got big guests coming in studio today, Keith Hernandez and David Wells. It's a good one today, Boomer. Good morning. How are you?
It really is, and good morning Gio. I would say in regards to the Mets, nice bottom of the lineup. Mesoraco actually hits a home run, which is nice. That's his second home run as a Met, and the thing about that is the catcher position's actually getting involved. Rosario had a big night last night, and of course, Lagares. Again, Noah Syndergaard, not great. 105 or 103 pitches in five innings. Seth Lugo comes in and does his job like he always does, it seems like. And the Mets have a huge win. You know, as for the Yankees and that whole thing last night, this could be a potential World Series matchup, man. This is it's fun watching those two teams play.
Yeah, it is.
And it's unfortunate that game got suspended, but they had moments last night. They had the bases loaded, and Didi Gregorius hits into the ground out to the force out at home. They have to settle for one run. Tyler Austin hits the home run, has the sack fly and everything else. But I would just say, just watching those two teams play, you could see them playing in October.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it is unfortunate that they have to deal with this because I don't know if they're going to be able to get that whole thing in. There's just too many games and too much terrible weather early on in the season, as it stopped even in mid-May. So, and it looks like it's going to rain here for like four straight days, just nonstop.
Well, I know you're a little disgusted at that because you got like the week off, so to speak.
Well,
as the wife and baby went to Pittsburgh, and I can tell in your voice that you're very annoyed by this whole
thing.
Well,
they might be coming home early. I just looked down on my phone. They might be coming home early.
Well, good for you.
The whole point might be moot. But yes. I know. I thought I'd have all this time to go out on a boat. It's going to be pouring rain every day. And for the Yankees, you're thinking, all right, we got to finish a game. We're going to try to start at 5-something. And then that might not happen. Then you got another game to play after that against the Nationals. But good thing, though, is that they battled back and Tyler Austin was able to provide the offense to get that tied, because the worst thing is to be able to have a situation like this and then the game's official and you're down a run and then all of a sudden you're screwed and you're like, wait a second, this shouldn't be happening to us. So they tied the game and at least you got the suspended scenario as opposed to losing a game because the game was official.
You know, and a couple other things coming up. A little bit after 7 o'clock this morning, we're going to have Dennis Drazen on. He's the chairman and CEO of Darby Development. They're the ones who actually operate Monmouth Park, and he was all over the news yesterday. I wanted Al to get him on this morning so we can bring everybody up to date as to what is happening at Monmouth Park in regards to all this gambling and what's happening with betting on games and things of that nature. They're ready to rock and roll, but I want you to hear it from the man who runs the place himself to let you know exactly what's going on and how they're going to implement the new gambling laws and everything else over there in New Jersey. The other thing, as you said, Keith Hernandez is going to come in, and then, of course, David Wells. Now, this whole thing with Robbie Cano, I mean, is anybody shocked by it? Joel Sherman has this whole this article this morning talking about how the Yankees had a sneaking suspicion. And obviously, look, his best friend on the team was who?
Well, he was really close with A-Rod, Melky Cabrera.
Right, exactly. And they both got nailed.
Yep.
So now he's the third of the trio to get nailed. And he's going to sit here. And I thought Justin Verlander, surprising to me, that a player would do what Justin Verlander did yesterday. He tweeted basically, excuse coming in 1, yeah. 2, 3. And of course, the excuse was that somehow Robbie Cano was given a prescription for this diuretic from a doctor down in the DR. I mean, come on. I mean, what, were you all born yesterday or what?
Yeah, at this point, you can't make those excuses any longer. You want to tell me that at the beginning of the new drug testing plan, that there was a bunch of stuff on there that players didn't know, and maybe the first year that it happened, 10 years or whatever it is that's been going on, there's no way. It's a total bullcrap, and he's just trying to save his ass and trying to make it look like he made a mistake, and this wasn't something he was trying to hide from people, so this doesn't linger on his record for the rest of time, so it doesn't hurt his chances of getting in the Hall of Fame. That's too late, and that's what's going
to
happen.
Basically, what he got found to be taking was a drug called furosemide, and furosemide is a masking agent. This is a diuretic, and it's a masking agent, and everybody in the business, everybody in the drug testing business, everybody in the world of sports, internationally, to all the leagues, everybody understands why somebody like Robbie Cano would be taking that. He's taking it to mask whatever else he's taking, and that's why he got suspended for 80 games. Now, he could sit here and tell you that he did not fail a drug test for taking a PED. What he failed the drug test for was taking a diuretic that masks a PED that he is taking. So, I mean, it's all about a play on words and everything else, but everybody in the world of sports and drug testing and PED testing knows exactly why a player would take what Robbie Cano is taking.
Yeah, and also Major League Baseball does an investigation with these masking agents to make sure that there is something behind that and saying that he did take it in order to try to beat a test.
I mean,
and they came
on,
back
man,
and
you
said
know?
That he did. So, it, I mean,
exactly
nobody thinks. Nobody believes him. Nobody. There's not a single person in the world that believes Robbie Cano was taking this for any other reason than to mask the PED.
I will say that, you know, part of me says, you know, I wish all the Mets took it.
Yeah, I know.
So maybe they would
I've thought that before,
but,
yeah.
But, you know,
and now, and by the way, like during that whole steroid era, like there were certain guys that fell through the cracks and you forgot about it. And the excuse was everybody was doing it, right? So you can't nail this guy, not that guy, whatever. Just one big mess. Now you don't see as much of this. You know, you get an occasional one. So this one really, really sticks out, especially around here being Robbie Cano. And it makes you think. It makes you think, how long was he doing stuff? How long was he beating tests? How long was this? Was this just a one-time thing where he tried to do it because he felt like he was getting late in his career? I don't think anybody believes that. I mean, it calls into question all of his production. It calls into question all his years as a Yankee. It does all that stuff. And unfortunately for him, he's going to have to deal with that for the rest of his career and the rest of his life.
You know what else it does? It also kind of just kind of stamps Brian Cashman yet with another, you know, slap on the back.
Yeah, did he speak yesterday? I think he spoke yesterday.
He might
after
have,
this,
and
which
thing,
is amazing. Like,
well,
oh,
he spoke to it. He's like, wasn't shocked that this happened. And the inference that comes from the Joel Sherman article is that the Yankees knew about this. This is one of the reasons why they didn't want to give him the $240 million. And, you know, that's why they went down the path that they've gone down. And all I could tell you, you know, he's a part of A-Rod, man. What could I tell you? And the interesting thing is that ESPN now comes out and says that A-Rod's going to have this new talk show where he's going to sit down with athletes and he's going to talk to athletes who are at a crossroads in their career. And he's going to use his own, his own background and his own experiences to help said athlete, whoever he decides to talk to and sit down with, to get through whatever tough situations they find themselves in. So there he goes. He's got his best buddy
right now.
He could be his first subject.
Yeah, guest number one, Robbie Cano.
Steroids is bad.
No.
Steroids are wrong. Do not take them.
No.
Is that old intern Kevin Wolf from those years ago?
Yes, we still have that. Kevin's still a part of the show.
You're right. I love that guy. Did the show with the Walrus. Remember that? I love that kid. I miss that. I think I'm still friends with him on social media. I got to go and say hello. But yeah.
You'll be hearing from him.
All right, good.
So, a lot.
Yeah, I don't. I have a different. Like, I'm not going to all of a sudden wipe away everything Robbie Cano's done in his career. Like, I'm not one of these soapbox baseball writers that have now said, oh my goodness, this guy's been cheating and he's never should be recognized ever again. It is a bad look, especially now when you're cleaning up the game and the suspension is 80 games and you're losing $11 million. I mean, that's a real rough thing to deal with as a player in his career. But, you know, as far as the legacy thing goes, I mean, it's not as severe to me when guys get caught like this as it is to some other people. I mean, I always assume athletes are doing something. And I also think there's probably a bunch of stuff out there now that we haven't heard about yet that guys are using that are ahead of the test.
Oh, 100%.
So, I mean, it's just, to me, it's chasing your tail constantly. And I know that he's probably not going to get into the Hall of Fame now. I mean, if you look at the way the writers have dealt with all these guys, you know that's going to happen. But that doesn't mean that he hasn't had a great career.
I know he's had a great career, but let's face it, he's attached to A-Rod. I mean, come on, man. I mean,
A-Rod right now is one of the most popular people in sports.
Which is really amazing. It's a credit to him and a testament to him. It's also a testament to his popularity. But at the end of the day, I mean, with this happening yesterday and ESPN announcing what they're going to do with A-Rod in terms of this interview show, I mean, there's your first subject right there.
Right. No,
I mean, your best buddy and everything else, and he just got nailed like you did.
Yeah, I mean, if that really was the conversation that happened prior to the Yankees making a decision on Robbie Cano. Now, they did offer him. You know, they offered him, 7 years and a significant amount of money.
They offered him to keep him here, but, you know, Seattle just went nuts.
Right.
And then Seattle's also obviously in a no-tax state.
Yeah, of course. So that made a lot of difference to Robbie Cano. But
right,
it's not as if the Yankees totally turned their back on Robinson Cano. They did give him an offer. But if that conversation did happen about how they're not going to invest in a guy for 10 years, they think he's going to fail a test or he's going to break down at some point after he hits a certain age because all the PEDs have been pumping in his body, then yeah, the Yankees look like geniuses again. They absolutely do. But it's also a weird thing, too, where, you know, so you assume something about a player. You feel like you've got the goods on him enough to not give him the money, but you never talk to him about it. You know, isn't that an odd thing where it's like we kind of think
they're in a no-win situation. They can't. I mean, you know, you just can't go.
What are you on steroids?
I can't do that. I mean, I don't know how you would do that other than if you said something to the agent. Maybe that way you could do it.
Now
you're on a slippery slope, right?
Are you? I mean, yes. If it's behind closed doors and you're all on the same team, be like, listen, we want to protect you. We want to make sure you don't get suspended. Tell us. We won't say anything. We'll make sure that you get cleaned up. And, you know, I mean, why not?
That's
I'm sticking a needle in A-Rod.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I was not surprised at all. Not at all. Well, I mean, actually, nothing in sports surprises me these days.
Yeah, I would say that. I would definitely agree with that. I'm trying to think if there's anything at all that would, you know, if there's certain.
If they came out and they said LeBron James was on something, would you be shocked? If they came out and said Alexander Ovechkin was on something, would you be shocked?
No, I guess I wouldn't be.
No,
I mean,
of course not. If they said Sidney Crosby was on something, would you be shocked?
No, I wouldn't, because these guys are the best at what they do.
Jack and Jill went up the hill to get some steroids.
And let me tell you something. Back in my day and the years before me, I mean, guys would take it for less money than what they're making today.
Yeah.
So when you think about, a player making, let's just say the average player making $15 million a year for a 5-year contract, you would do anything in your power to hold on to that and then try to get a new contract after that. That's why these things are going on. I mean, the amount of money is insane.
No, I know. And he already got paid, though. Like, I can understand trying to get to that contract and doing whatever it takes.
He may have been doing this his whole career. I don't know if he has or hasn't, but at the end of the day, they had the suspicions because of his friendship with A-Rod. And what was A-Rod's cousin's name?
Sukar.
Yeah, Sucrate.
No, it's Sukar.
Is it Sukar or Sucrate, Al?
I think it's not Sucrate, but I think it was Sucre, I think. S-U-C-R-I.
It's aspirin and Sucrates, I believe.
And that was almost positive, it was Yuri Sukar.
Right. I mean, that was the guy that took the hit for everybody.
Yeah, I know.
Like a good family member should.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sucart. Yuri Sukart, A-Rod's half-brother tied to undercover biogenesis.
Yeah. Here we go again. I'm not talking about this anymore. I don't really care. Honestly, I don't care.
You would have brought it up.
I know, but the point being is the only reason we're bringing it up is because of what happened to Robbie Cano. And I don't really care. It's not surprising to me at all.
Right.
And, you know, and he'll have to deal with whatever the crap is that he'll have to deal with. And he'll have to deal with the writers now because he is a Hall of Fame player. And whether or not he's going to make it, whether or not you're going to buy his excuse, You know, that, I guess that's up to the each of the individual writers. I don't buy it.
Yeah,
I
mean, and good luck to the Mariners with all those years and all that money left on that contract to a guy now who's already been suspended once and also now is probably, unless he's a total buffoon, is not going to mess with any other stuff. So now you got a guy who could possibly have been using PEDs his entire career. Who's
Little
not-
Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet sticking A-rods with steroids. Oh, pathetic.
Well, I mean, think about it. This guy's probably been so used to using stuff, and now maybe he feels like he can't get back to that level of production without using it. He's got all that money left. Maybe he's not going to be the same player again.
Maybe the guy had all that production because he was using the stuff like A-Rod was.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
You have to remember when he and A-Rod were buddies. I mean, and how old he was at that time and how impressionable he was at that time, and also seeing the fact that A-Rod made $500 million.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it... I understand the whole mindset behind it. I totally get it. And I get the euphoria of playing baseball or football or basketball or whatever it is in front of packed stadiums, being relevant, getting the big payday, especially if you come from, you know, the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
Given where you grow up and where you come from and trying to make it to that level and make that much money, do you realize what has taken him to get that at
part? Oh, of course, yes.
And that's one of the reasons why you would go down this road. You'd want to continue to be able to be productive, live up to your contract, still have the all-star games to play in and all that other stuff. I mean, it is, I'm telling you, it is like taking cocaine. You get addicted to all of it.
Oh, I'm right. And then you can't imagine not being that guy.
And you will do anything you can to sustain that.
Yeah, you can't imagine not being that player that everybody loves, everybody expects great things from. So that's why when people ask the question, like, well, why are you still doing stuff? Why are you still taking stuff when you got that big contract? It's because of exactly that. Because it's living up to it. It's that feeling. It's being great. You know, when you get to that level of being great, you want to know no other world.
Is it shocking that Lance Armstrong did what he did? No, of course.
No,
it's not
shocking
at all.
No, none of it is.
I mean, and given that environment in that world,
yeah.
I mean, that's a whole nother story. You either do it or you don't. And if you do it and you win, you're going to pay the price for it. But you're going to win.
Yeah.
And right. you're going to be in the forefront for years and years and years until somebody calls you on it. So I would just say that I'm not surprised at all. And now he'll have to deal with it. And, you know, I don't buy whatever the hell he's selling right now in terms of an explanation. It's unfortunate, but I just don't buy it. You know, being around the athletes for this long, you know exactly that there are guys that are doing this. So too bad for him, and he's going to have to sit out 80 games. And when he comes back, I'm sure he'll have to deliver some sort of an apology, because what he is saying about what he took is a bunch of crap, literally a bunch of crap, and we know that.
Yeah, everybody. And by the way, everybody knows.
And by the way, how about what happened to your man LeBron last night? He came out and just tried to win the game by himself last night.
Yeah, he did, and he was unbelievable in the first quarter. Had 21 points, finished with over 40 and a triple double, but. You know, he was not the same after he ran into, was it Rozier? And then.
Oh, that was Tatum, I think.
Oh, Tatum, that's right. Yeah. I'm sorry, Tatum. Ran into Tatum and then got hit sort of in the jaw, neck area and got checked out. He was not the same player with the same aggression the rest of the game. Now, I don't know if you're going to tie that to it or you want to say that Brad Stevens, who is the master of all adjustments, saw what he did in the first quarter and then changed some things around, and that's why. But
no, the guy's wearing white last night in the second half. I mean, their level of play just went up a whole nother notch,
yeah.
Both defensively and offensively. I mean, from rebounding to following each other's shots to playing defense to switching – to doing all the things that you're supposed to do in order to beat LeBron James and his collection of misfits, they have done it. And they've done it pretty handily in the first two games. I mean, last night's second half was downright impressive by the Boston Celtics. They were on it. You could tell. It's just like Brad Stevens must have said, okay, boys, we're switching this switch and let's go.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how they respond to him, and everybody contributes on that team.
Dude, wide open threes too. You know, Cleveland did not play great defense in the second half, and that was the thing that Houston was talking about last night. You know, as they get ready to play game two against the Golden State Warriors, too many easy open shots that we allowed on defense, and that's why I think Steve Kerr said the reason we won game one was because of our defense, not because of our offensive prowess, because we made it tough on even though, Harden had 41 points, we made it tough on him. You may not think that when you watch it, but that from where they sit, I would tell you that's exactly what Boston did in the second half last night. They made it tough on the Cleveland Cavaliers from a defensive standpoint, but man, when they were going to the hoop on offense, man, it was like a collection of guys going to the hoop. So
you check out that draft lottery before the game or what?
I saw it. Yeah, we got the 9th pick overall. One of my buddies texted me and said, so what? I mean, I know. I knew we were not going to win.
Yeah, right. The 1.6% chance didn't come out for the Knicks. So the 9th pick, we'll see who they end up with. And that draft lottery is just announced the order of the team. Do we need 15 interviews and this and that and an envelope? I mean, I don't trust the thing anyway anymore because they don't show you the whole process. And you're going to televise it. Televise the whole process.
And the amazing thing is you take a look at who's like in front of the Knicks.
Yep.
Cleveland, Chicago.
Yeah.
You know,
well, Chicago
Atlanta
was bad last year.
I understand, but those are the teams that are in front of the Knicks. So if the Knicks have their eyes on some player, Cleveland can come in and go get them if they want.
Right. Well, we'll see what the Cleveland Cavaliers look like in the offseason if LeBron is still there or not. All right, we got Mets, Yankees, draft lottery, LeBron, Robbie Cano. Get to all of it. We'll continue talking about it with Jerry in just a few minutes.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.